Chapter 3 Andrew got up at 5 o'clock the next morning to catch his flight home. He made a big show of banging around the room and turning on the lights and talking really loudly into his phone. Brendan put his pillow over his head and waited for him to leave, then went back to sleep. He stayed in bed as long as humanly possible, only crawling out from under the blankets sometime after lunch, when he was starting to feel like he'd become permanently part of the bed. The hallway was deserted, and all the whiteboards on the doors said things like, "See you Sunday," and "Happy Thanksgiving." Brendan had gone to bed feeling pretty good, but now he felt awful again. He couldn't tell if he was legitimately getting sick or just feeling sorry for himself. He suspected it was more self-pity. He moped into the cafeteria and was one of only a handful of kids there. If anyone asked, and no one was going to, Brendan planned to claim he was from Hawaii and couldn't afford the ticket back. He stared at his phone for a while, but it didn't ring. He left his tray on the table, food virtually untouched. If he went back to his room and sat there, alone, he was going to do something stupid and drastic, like dye his hair blonde, or write a really terrible song, or call his mom and burst into tears and ask if he could come home. Brendan knew he couldn't live with himself if he did any of those things, so he shoved his hands in his pockets and walked to Starbucks instead. He was never going to get used to how cold the East Coast got. He hated how bare the trees were, and how he could see his breath, and he needed to remember to buy mittens and a hat and a proper winter jacket one of these days. Thanksgiving was time to hang out outside with his friends, not huddle inside moping or risk freezing to death on the sidewalk. By the time he got to Starbucks, his ears felt like they'd crystallized and fallen right off his head. When he walked inside, his glasses steamed up, and for a minute, Brendan couldn't see anything. His fingers were too numb to pull them off and wipe them clean. Horrible holiday music played underneath the noise of milk steaming.
"Yo, Brendan!"
He had his glasses off, and he had to stick them back on before he saw John, leaning on the register and smiling.
"Hey,"
Brendan said, absurdly happy that someone in this abandoned city knew him and cared that he was alive. Okay, clearly the holidays were making him unacceptably melodramatic. And, oh God, he'd grabbed his ID card but not his wallet, which was still in his room, like, "Nice planning, Brendan."
"What can I get you?" John asked.
Right. The one person Brendan could hang out with was actually just a guy who was paid to be nice so he could sell Brendan things. A little bit of his happy went away.
"Oh," Brendan said.
"Nothing." Not having money was going to be an impediment to hanging out with John, which made John sound kind of like a hooker.
"Then why are you here?"
John asked, puzzled. Fair question. Brendan had no answer at all. "I'm lonely" was way too pathetic.
"Oh, you know," Brendan bullshitted breezily. "I wanted to ask you about your band and stuff, like when you guys play and what you play. I'm kind of interning at a music management company, and they want me to keep an ear out for new stuff that's coming up, plus I'm going to start a band with this guy I know."
Brendan could talk about nothing special for a really long time. John nodded, like that made sense to him.
"Cool," he said. "We're totally dead in here today for the holiday. So what kind of band are you starting? What kind of music are you into?"
He rattled around with some of the metal milk canisters and paper cups.
Regular, I guess," Brendan said. "I like just about everything. Lately, I've been on a real 60s kick."
Brendan was so intensely grateful to have someone to talk to that his knees felt a little weak.
"Beatles or Stones?"
John asked. Brendan didn't actually have a preference.
"Beatles," he said firmly. "Better harmonies, groundbreaking albums." "But no longevity,"
John pointed out.
"Plus, the Stones have had like 7 different sounds. They're totally versatile."
"The Beatles never put out a disco album," Brendan said. John laughed.
"That is a very good point,"
he said, and handed Brendan a drink in a holiday-themed cup.
I really
can't," Brendan said awkwardly. John waved a hand.
"While I'm working, I can make as many drinks for myself as I want. I made that one wrong, and I don't want it anymore, so you can have it. Besides, I'm the fucking shift supervisor. Who's gonna argue?"
"Oh," said Brendan meekly.
"Thanks." "Peppermint mocha," John grinned. "Right?"
"I love you," Brendan said. He wasn't even exaggerating.
"Keep me from dying of boredom," John said. "Beatles or Beach Boys?"
"Is that even a debate?" Brendan asked. John leaned on the counter.
"You know, Sgt. Pepper was just a ripoff of Pet Sounds, right? Paul McCartney even said so. He thought Brian Wilson was a fucking genius. So do I."
"Pet Sounds?" Brendan echoed.
Aren't the Beach Boys like the little old lady from Pasadena and I Get Around?
Oh, dude, John groaned. So much to learn, Grasshopper. Let me go get my iPod.
Brendan waited, humming happily to himself. It turned out not to be such a horrible day after all.
Thanksgiving, though. It was bad.
Brendan woke up and couldn't get back to sleep. He couldn't do anything. He propped open the window of his dorm and let cold air blow through the room for a while. That, and notes on the Crusades, kept him distracted until lunchtime. After that, he took drastic measures. The security guy didn't even look up when Brendan walked into Brian's building. He was on the phone, arguing with his wife about what time he'd be home. Brendan got in the elevator and slumped against the wall. He planned to spend the afternoon thinking about nothing but alphabetizing receipts, and maybe if he stayed long enough and concentrated hard enough, he'd pass out in the office and when he woke up, Thanksgiving would be over. Brendan let himself into the office and turned on all the lights immediately so it would seem like other people might be there. Then he turned his iPod up to deafening and blasted the Beatles and planned cool things to say to John next time he saw him. Brian's desk was a giant mess of receipts, most of which were illegible, Brian's, and some of which were merely indecipherable, Gabe's. Brendan tried to sort them into basic piles, but he ran into problems. How, for example, did one classify stripper costumes 7, not 4 strippers? Old receipts versus new was pretty easy, though, and when he wasn't sure how to alphabetize most of the things Gabe bought, he just took his best guess. He got through Rubber Soul and started Revolver. He would have to remember to tell John about how they were originally supposed to be one double-length album before he was done with the first pile on Brian's desk. The second pile was even larger. Some of the receipts looked like Ryan's handwriting, or what Brendan thought might be his handwriting. It was loopy, and some of the receipts were decorated with flowers. Brendan looked at those extra long and sighed. Paul McCartney totally felt his pain while he sang for no one. Possibly Brendan was singing along with his headphones. He had trouble keeping track of whether the things he was saying were inside or outside his head sometimes, but he was definitely distracted because he didn't hear the door open. And he didn't hear anyone walk into Brian's office. He didn't hear anything except the Beatles, in fact, while he was dancing. It was only luck that he happened to turn around and... Well, there was Ryan Ross, arms crossed, faintly puzzled look on his face, watching him. Brendan almost choked. He dropped his iPod and it clattered to the floor, pulling the headphones out of his ears with it.
"You really can sing, huh?"
Ryan said. He might have been almost smiling. Brendan was too busy trying to die to worry about it.
"I," said Brendan, blinking. The rest of the sentence was gone. Oh my God, had he been dancing while Ryan stood there and watched? How could the worst day possible be getting worse? "Why are you here?" he blurted. "You're supposed to be home."
Ryan looked at the floor for a second.
"I don't really have anywhere else to be," he said finally. "I was kind of supposed to go to someone else's house, but the flight was expensive, and I figured being at someone else's house this time of year can be weird, you know?"
He looked up with a tiny, wry smile, while Brendan's heart tried to thump out of his chest. He knew exactly what Ryan was talking about.
"Why are you here?"
"Oh, that. Same kind of thing," Brendan said. "I couldn't really go home, and I didn't want to sit around by myself and do nothing."
That didn't sound too pathetic, did it?
God, who cared? Ryan had been watching him dance and listening to him sing, and so far he hadn't burst out laughing or made fun of Brendan.
"Yeah," said Ryan.
He tilted his head.
"It's kind of weird and echoey here without Gabe singing in his office."
Brendan laughed weakly.
"I guess I could fill in," he offered, feeling his face go red again. "No way," Ryan said seriously. "Because you're actually pretty on key when you're singing, and Gabe mostly sounds like he's being murdered."
Time for another exciting round of Ryan Ross. Flirting, or just being nice for no apparent reason? Brendan wanted to think it was flirting, but it might not be. It was Ryan's job to listen to people sing. So really, Brendan was happy either way it turned out. He just wanted it to be flirting. Did that mean he wanted it so much he was imagining it? Brendan had limited dating experience, like practically none, and no one to hash out these important details with. He finally settled for, "Thank you," and tried to make it sound like people complimented his singing all the time. "I guess..." He cast around for something cool to say.
"Most people who are alone on the holidays would be off drinking themselves stupid. Lucky we have work to do." Yeah, said Ryan with a weird twist to his mouth.
Lucky. I actually don't drink.
The way he said it, or maybe something about his expression, told Brendan that there was a really long, sad story behind that statement.
My family doesn't either, Brendan offered. He couldn't really claim not to drink after coming to work with a hangover last week.
He wondered if Ryan would believe him that he'd only been to 3 parties in his entire college career and wasn't planning to go to many more.
Probably not.
My dad kind of considered drinking his job, Ryan said in a dangerous monotone. But he's dead now, so I don't have to pretend to care anymore.
Brendan was unbelievably flattered that Ryan would tell him something like that, and equally upset that something so shitty had happened to Ryan. Brendan no longer felt like the king of the lonely holiday season.
I'm sorry, he said, because he didn't know what else to say. I don't talk to my family anymore. I miss them.
He winced, because how callous was that, telling Ryan he missed his family when Ryan had just said his was dead. But Ryan smiled sadly and nodded.
I wish I missed him, he said quietly. I wish I had that option.
Brendan nodded mutely. He couldn't say a fucking thing to that, and stared busily at his receipts for a minute. It had been less painfully awkward when it had just been about his dancing and singing to himself. At this point, he expected, Ryan would roll his eyes and go back to his desk, leaving Brendan alone to agonize over all his missed opportunities.
Maybe I'll bring my work in here, Ryan said instead. That way it'll seem like there are other people around this weekend. Sometimes it feels like I'm the only one left in the whole universe, you know?
Brendan did. Also, he really wanted to see Ryan's lyrics. They were probably totally deep and awesome and had lots of veiled references to his inner pain.
That'd be cool, he said,
because he couldn't throw himself at Ryan and hug him for being the only other person who could possibly understand how Brendan was feeling. Later, when he was sure that Ryan was actually flirting, he'd throw himself at Ryan. Brendan had come up with a complicated plan involving chocolate and an orchestra and a long walk by a lake. He'd have to find one. And then longing sideways glances, and the music swelling, and Brendan would say something incredibly romantic, and they'd fall in love. Ryan didn't get to know about this plan until Brendan had a few more of the details worked out.
Be right back,
Ryan said, and stepped out. Brendan spent a couple of frantic minutes trying to make Brian's office look like somewhere he was working, and not somewhere he'd been using as his personal dance studio. And then Ryan came back with a laptop and a calendar and a couple of address books and sat down on the floor, typing seriously.
He was so fucking pretty sitting there typing.
It was early afternoon, but the day was cold and gray and hazy, and there was only a little light slanting in through Brian's giant glass windows. Brendan worked on sorting receipts into piles and not staring at Ryan, looking soft and romantic in the dim light. He had a scarf on, like usual, and a fringed vest and ridiculously tight jeans. Not that Brendan was looking, but he couldn't help looking a little. And his hair was curling around the nape of his neck. If Brendan had been a lyricist, he'd have written a whole song about how much he wanted to reach out and play with Ryan's hair. It was probably lucky for everyone involved that he wasn't. They worked without talking for an hour or so. Brendan tried to sort paper as quietly as possible without seeming like he was worried about being too loud. He wanted to strike up a cool conversation with Ryan, but he couldn't think of anything to say. After a silence that felt like forever, Ryan sighed and looked up from his laptop.
I don't mind doing some of the grunt work, he said, because I love this job. But really, why do I have to send all the mean no-thank-you emails? It's not enough that I'm spending the holiday working. I have to spend it destroying people's dreams.
What do you say? Brendan asked. Is it really just no-thank-you?
It's a form email.
Ryan sighed.
Totally heartless and cruel. If I got this email, I'd... Well, I'd go off in a corner and feel really bad, I think.
I want to start a band, Brendan said. But maybe I won't tell Brian about it after all. I couldn't handle him thinking I sucked.
He had a tiny bit more sympathy for Gerard all of a sudden.
Are you kidding?
Ryan asked. Brendan looked at him curiously.
Brian, dude, Brian loves you. If you started a band and it was like you on kazoo and someone else on keytar, he'd probably sign you tomorrow.
There was something in Ryan's voice that Brendan didn't recognize.
I'm his babysitter, Brendan said dumbly.
I mean, he pays me to hang out with his kids while he's working.
Ryan's mouth crooked up into a smile. Most people totally pay someone to come and hang out with their kids once a week, even when they're home, and let them hang out all the time, and offer them jobs, and talk about them all the time like they're family. He rolled his eyes. Brendan felt a little dizzy. He talks about me? He said.
Brendan taught Gerard to play magic this weekend, Ryan mimicked. Brendan's teaching Mikey guitar. Brendan can play anything. Brendan's so great with the kids, even when I don't know what to say to them.
Was that even possible?
Really?
Brendan squeaked.
Trust me, Ryan replied. I know what it feels like when Brian doesn't like you. If it weren't for that, I would have already... Never mind. Just... You underestimate Brian, I think, and you underestimate yourself.
Brendan wasn't sure if that was a compliment or not. He dropped to the floor next to Ryan, cross-legged, and said earnestly,
That's not entirely fair. You don't know me like I know me. I'm taking more into account than you are. You only see the semi-cool facade I have while I'm working here. Most of the time, I'm a total, total dork. I embrace my dorkitude and all, don't get me wrong, but people aren't exactly lining up to tell me how great I am, and Brian's pretty much as cool as a person can get, so...
Ryan half-smiled.
Do you ever shut up?
He asked. His face, his mouth, was so close to Brendan's that Brendan could almost feel his breath against his cheek. He imagined he could feel it. He imagined himself leaning over and kissing that smirk right off Ryan's face.
Not really, no, Brendan said.
His voice had gotten quieter, and he hadn't even noticed. Ryan was so close now that he barely had to speak at all to be heard. Was Ryan leaning toward him a little bit? Brendan swayed toward him. He couldn't help it. Brendan was being pulled into Ryan Ross's orbit. He could feel an electrical crackle in the air.
You should try sometime,
Ryan whispered. His mouth was right there, right in front of Brendan's, and then it was brushing Brendan's, and then...
Brendan's mouth was pressed
against Ryan's.
Brendan opened his mouth to say something. What the hell was he trying to say at a time like this? And Ryan read it as an invitation.
He wasn't just pressing his mouth to Brendan's anymore. He was kissing him. He tasted like chapstick and coffee, and his lips were incredibly soft. Ryan sucked gently on Brendan's lower lip, and Brendan opened his mouth a little more, felt Ryan smile. Brendan kissed back, tentatively. What if he did something awful and Ryan stopped? He moved just a little, just enough to let Ryan know he wasn't dead or offended, and Ryan's hand came up behind him, pressing against Brendan's back, pulling him closer. Brendan made a startled, encouraging noise, and his hands flew up and grabbed Ryan's vest, dragging him down until they were pressed against each other, Ryan awkwardly half-kneeling and Brendan trying to help him stay balanced without letting go. He could feel Ryan's chest moving, and he could taste Ryan in his mouth, and they were still kissing. Somehow it hadn't set the room on fire, even though Brendan was so hot he was sure they were both burning up. Brendan's eyes sank shut, and all he could do was think about Ryan's hand sliding a few inches lower down his back, or his hands sliding up underneath Ryan's shirt. And meanwhile, they were still kissing.
Brendan's phone burst to life with the shrill sound of ABBA.
Ryan pulled back, laughing, and Brendan's eyes flew open. He had never hated disco more in his entire life. For a second, he couldn't remember how his mouth worked when it wasn't touching Ryan's, and his voice had checked out entirely.
See? Said Ryan teasingly. Shutting up can be fun. You should answer your phone.
He turned back to his laptop, typing like nothing had happened. Brendan, meanwhile, felt a lot like the entire Earth had fallen off its axis. He jumped to his feet and almost fell over, caught himself with one hand, and launched himself toward the desk. His phone was vibrating in his bag, and he searched for it frantically. This probably meant the moment was pretty well ruined.
What?
Brendan demanded impatiently, flipping his phone open. Ryan wasn't looking at him, but he was still smiling. Was anything still salvageable somehow?
I guess you're busy,
Mikey said in his normal monotone.
But things are pretty bad out here, and I thought you should know.
What? Brendan stared at the phone in disbelief. A middle schooler was ruining the greatest minute of Brendan's life.
Mikey, oh my God, not now! Brendan snapped.
Mikey was reproachfully silent for 30 seconds.
I'm sorry, tell me what happened, Brendan finally sighed, slumping against the desk.
He told himself firmly that there would be other chances to make out with the boy of his dreams. Oh God, what if there weren't? And that he could spend as much alone time as he wanted running through that kiss over and over and over. Finally, a reason to celebrate being alone in his dorm during the holidays.
Brian said we were eating dinner at 2 because that's what he always does, and Gerard started yelling and locked himself in the bathroom upstairs, and Brian got all mad because his mom was over and went upstairs and yelled at Gerard, and Gerard climbed out the window and onto the roof, and now he won't come down.
Hilarious. Brendan's life was honest to God hilarious. Why was Gerard so upset? Brendan asked. Mikey paused again.
It's complicated,
he said.
He better tell you himself.
Right, but he's stuck on the roof, Brendan pointed out. Ryan's eyebrows flew up to his hairline, and he looked up.
Oh, then you better come help Brian get him down so he can tell you,
Mikey said, like that was perfectly reasonable. Brendan said, looking at Ryan with what was definitely helpless desperation. Mikey, I'm busy. Ryan said thoughtfully,
If someone's stuck on a roof, I think you have to go.
And then he smiled. Brendan felt tingly all over again.
Brian's considering calling the fire department,
Mikey said.
I think the neighbors are going to start taking pictures soon.
Oh, for the love of God! Fine, I'll come over, Mikey, stop, okay? Brendan said. Can you give me an hour or two?
Sure,
Mikey said.
If you're not worried about G freezing to death, like I am.
Mm-hmm, said Brendan, slamming his hand against the desk. Fine, I'll be there as soon as I can. Mikey had already put the phone down. Brendan heard him yelling,
Everyone relax, Brendan is coming.
Brendan clicked his phone shut. He looked at Ryan, who was just watching him. I have to go. There's kind of a crisis at Brian's house.
Yeah, I got that idea.
Ryan smiled. But you, that was... Can we maybe do that again sometime? Brendan asked. He sounded so ridiculously plaintive that he winced. Ryan nodded and grinned a little to himself, and then ducked his head, looking down at his laptop.
I hope so,
he said, not looking up at Brendan. Brendan was so fucking happy he didn't even... There weren't words. Awesome! Brendan blurted. That's awesome! Okay, well, awesome! I have to go, but... Right. He grabbed his bag and his sweatshirt and shoved his phone in his pocket. So, I'll see you here?
Yeah, you will,
Ryan promised. Brendan had never been so happy in his entire life. Okay, he said. Bye. Brendan ran out. His feet barely touched the ground. Brendan ran from the bus stop to Brian's house and then skidded to a halt in Brian's driveway. Mikey and Brian's mom were both standing outside on the front steps, with their arms crossed, looking up. There was a ladder that didn't reach the roof leaning against the house, while Brian held it in place. And, sure enough, on the roof was a dark shape that was probably Gerard.
What the hell?
Brendan said, coming up behind Mikey.
Oh, good, said Mikey. He yelled up to the roof, Gerard, Brendan is here.
I don't care,
Gerard yelled back. He sounded pretty snotty, which probably meant he'd been crying. Mikey looked at Brendan and rolled his eyes.
He won't come down because he doesn't want to talk to Brian. But if he doesn't come down, Brian is going to call Claire. And I'm hungry.
Right, said Brendan. So I guess I'll just... go up?
Mikey nodded. Brendan waved to Brian and let himself into the house. He went upstairs and fiddled with the locked bathroom doorknob for a minute. Then he gave up and went into the boys' room next door. Their window opened up next to the lower part of the roof over the back half of the house. It was lower than the rest of the roof, so you could, with a little luck, step there and then climb up to the flatter, higher part of the roof.
Hey, said Brendan, pulling himself up. It's fucking cold up here.
Gerard was sitting with his arms wrapped around his knees, staring morosely at the street. He didn't have a jacket, which meant he'd probably get pneumonia and die, or something.
No one asked you to come,
he muttered, and then immediately negated that by looking up at Brendan with his giant, pleading eyes.
This isn't what was supposed to happen today.
Yeah, no shit. Brendan sat down next to Gerard and put his arm around the kid's shoulders. Gerard shivered a little bit.
So, you want to tell me where it all went wrong?
Brendan asked. Gerard shook his head.
You'll tell Brian, and I can't tell Brian. It'll make him all sad and upset, and he wanted to have a nice holiday, which I already ruined. I'm trying to keep him from getting upset. Upsetter. Gee, you know, technically speaking, he's the adult and you're the kid, so it's his job to keep you from getting upset about stuff.
Gerard shook his head again.
That's stupid, Brendan.
Right. Gerard was frustratingly immature and heartbreakingly overburdened with self-imposed responsibility, all at the same time.
Tell me what happened, Brendan sighed.
You have to promise not to tell Brian.
Brendan could always wiggle out of it later if he needed to.
Fine, he said. Now spill.
Well,
Gerard looked up, and then down, and then up again.
It's just, Brian has all these things he wants to do for Thanksgiving, but they're all wrong, and I can't tell him that because I know he loves us, and you know we love him too, and we don't want him to be sad, but none of it's right!
Brendan, luckily, spoke fluent babble.
Wrong how? Like, he burned the crescent rolls? Because I do that all the time.
Gerard made a frustrated noise.
No, he said. Wrong like... He wants to eat early, and we always ate late. And he's got all these kinds of pie, but Mom only made pumpkin. And it's all... It's the first time in forever me and Mikey have been anywhere on a holiday when it mattered, and I want him to be happy, but it's making me really upset.
He flapped his hands around a little. His eyes were starting to get shiny again.
You're feeling kind of homesick, huh?
Brendan asked quietly. He recognized the tragic note in Gerard's tone. Gerard nodded and let Brendan pull him closer.
You know Brian's not trying to replace your mom and dad, right? He's making a new family for you guys.
I know,
Gerard said and sniffled. Brendan pretended not to hear.
Why don't you just tell him, G? He wouldn't want to do anything to make you this upset.
Right, but...
Gerard said earnestly, pushing his hair out of his face.
He doesn't know, and these are all the things he always does with his mom. So how can I make him sad about not doing his stuff just because I'm sad about not doing our stuff? That wouldn't be fair.
Brendan really wished he'd been more awake during Gerard's phone call, so he could have headed all this off.
I bet he'd understand, he said finally. Brian's really good about that.
I know, I didn't mean to start yelling. I just wasn't going to say anything. But he... It's all wrong. And Mikey doesn't even remember anymore.
Gerard's shoulders shook a little bit. Brendan wished Gerard were younger or smaller so he could just haul the kid into his lap and hug the shit out of him.
You'll just have to remember for you and Mikey, Brendan said.
Damn it, he was starting to get choked up too, because he knew exactly what his family was doing to celebrate Thanksgiving right now, and he wasn't there. It hurt like eating molten rocks.
If you want Brian to fix things, you'll have to tell him that they're wrong. Right now he thinks, God, I don't even know Gerard, but it's not fair to expect him to just read your mind and know that things are wrong. You have to tell him.
Gerard shook his head and pressed closer to Brendan's side.
I can't, he said. Please don't tell him. He'll be so upset.
So what's your big plan? You're just going to stay up on the roof forever?
Gerard nodded.
You know eventually Mikey will come up here too, and tomorrow Frank, probably, and the three of you will all starve to death on the roof, and Brian will get in trouble for it.
Brendan!
Gerard complained.
That's not going to happen!
Right, because you're going back inside where it's warm.
Brendan couldn't really feel his nose anymore. Gerard made a little noise and clutched Brendan's hoodie.
How about this? Brendan said finally. I won't tell Brian, and you don't have to tell him right now either, because you're both pretty upset. But I have a feeling this is just going to keep getting worse, and Christmas may end up bad too.
Gerard shook his head, but Brendan suspected he wasn't disagreeing, as much as denying the future would ever happen.
So you have 3 weeks to tell him, kiddo. Otherwise, I'm going to. Deal?
Gerard made a whiny noise, but he was cold and tired, and Brendan was feeling patient. Eventually, Gerard muttered,
Fine.
And Brendan grinned.
Good, he said. Because it's fucking cold out here. Come on, inside before Brian calls the fire department.
He stood up and tugged Gerard to his feet. Gerard seemed reluctant, but it might have been that he was half frozen from sitting on the roof for an hour. Brendan held onto Gerard's arm as he climbed back through the window, and then swung down himself. No one died. Brendan was grateful for that. Gerard unlocked the bathroom door, and there were Brian and Jean and Mikey, all with various degrees of impatient worry on their faces. Brendan caught Brian's eye and mouthed, Be nice. Brian rolled his eyes.
Jesus Christ, Brian said. Are you done scaring us all to death?
He hugged Gerard briefly and rubbed his hands against Gerard's shoulders to warm him up.
I guess so. I'm sorry,
Gerard told the carpet.
Hot chocolate, right now,
Jean ordered,
taking Gerard by the arm with one hand and Mikey with the other and pulling them both downstairs. Brian crossed his arms.
So? He said. What the hell?
I'm kind of sworn to secrecy, Brendan apologized. But be nice, okay? He's feeling pretty messed up right now, and it really has nothing to do with you. Actually, he was talking about how much he loves you. Brian looked absurdly flattered.
He was?
Well, he said, we love Brian, and with Gerard, I always assume it's the royal we.
Right, but... God, how did I hit the jackpot on the teenage hissy fit slot machine?
Brendan laughed.
Everyone's crazy when they're 14. Gerard's super crazy, but he has reasons, you know? If it makes you feel any better, I think he's doing better with you than he would be with just about anyone else in the world. 14 is hard.
Brian sighed and slumped against the wall.
Why can't he just talk to me like a normal human being?
Well, he's 14, and you're his father figure. I couldn't have a conversation with my dad about important stuff to save my life, Brendan started.
And then he couldn't talk anymore. He was never going to get a chance to apologize to his dad for all the shitty stuff he'd done when he was a stupid kid. He was never going to get to hug his dad and tell him he loved him. He was never going to see him again. Because he left.
I have to go, Brendan choked.
Right, we interrupted your big Thanksgiving plans, Brian said. Shit, I'm sorry. Do you want to ride somewhere?
Brendan just shook his head. He was honestly going to burst into tears if he had to talk to Brian about anything else to do with fathers and families today. His chest was ridiculously tight.
No, thanks, I'm really busy. Bye, be nice to Gerard, okay?
He mumbled and practically ran for the door. He heard Mikey say, Wait, he's leaving? Before he was outside and standing on the sidewalk, blinking furiously so he wouldn't end up sitting on the bus crying like a crazy person. Brendan went in and finished sorting the receipts the next day. He brought snacks, in case Ryan showed up again. But he didn't. And Brendan didn't have his phone number. It was okay, though. He was willing to wait until next week. Memories of kissing Ryan were keeping him afloat, even while the holiday spirit around him tried to drag him down. He got an urgent phone call from, surprisingly, Spencer. It had gone straight to voicemail. Brendan was a little scared that Brian was going to call him and ask him to fix Gerard, when the last thing Brendan wanted to do was hash out more parental issues with Gerard at the moment. All Spencer said was that he was flying in on Sunday and he wanted to talk to Brendan immediately as soon as he got in. Brendan figured it was probably just something about the project. He was getting the impression that Spencer was kind of anal about his grades and planning things out, and didn't worry too much. He texted back, I'll be here, see you tomorrow, and went back to planning his fantasy date with Ryan Ross. It was going to be epic. He'd incorporated doves. And in his head, he was totally an expert kisser who never froze out of sheer astonishment that someone else wanted to kiss him. Spencer must have called the minute his plane touched down. Brendan was fast asleep because it was only 7:30 in the morning. I'll be back at my dorm by 9, Spencer said in his bossiest voice. Meet me there. It didn't really sound like it had to do with the project. Brendan wondered blearily if Spencer had come up with a name for the band, or maybe realized that he wanted to hang out with Brendan instead of the snotty kids from History of Western Music. He decided he didn't care, and rolled out of bed to shower and brace himself before he had to talk to Spencer. Spencer required preparation. As it turned out, there was no way Brendan could have prepared himself quite enough. Spencer's half of the room was all band posters, mostly drummers, while his roommate's side was all women in bikinis and posters about beer. Brendan almost opened his mouth to suggest that Brendan and Spencer switch, so Spencer's roommate was with Andrew and Spencer and Brendan were living together. But Spencer looked upset and also bizarrely nervous.
What?
Brendan asked, stepping over Spencer's suitcase. It seemed to be mostly full of shoes. Spencer sat down on the bed and stuck his hands in the pockets of his white sweatshirt. I need to talk to you, he said, and tried to smile, but there was something wrong with it.
Okay,
said Brendan, sitting on the other bed. His stomach did a quick flip. Something was definitely up. So, said Spencer, looking down at the bedspread for a second. He normally sounded totally brash and forthright. Brendan frowned. I got a phone call over vacation. You're the Brendan who works after class at the Cobra, whatever company. He rolled his eyes at himself a little bit. I should have realized when he said, Anyway, that's you, right?
Yeah,
said Brendan, trying to figure out how Spencer could possibly know that. Spencer took a deep breath and looked up. His eyes were drilling right through Brendan.
So then I guess you know my boyfriend, huh?
I know you're... you... Brendan couldn't make himself keep speaking, or breathing for that matter. Spencer didn't mean Gabe, and he didn't mean Brian. The room dipped and rolled.
Brian,
Brendan said. His mouth had gone so dry he couldn't believe he was able to talk at all. He tried to smile, but he knew it looked totally strained and strange.
Your boyfriend, Ryan Ross.
Yeah,
Spencer said intensely. What the fuck had Ryan told him?
What the fuck had Brendan done?
I've known him since we were little kids. I decided to go to college out here and he came with me, got an internship at some other company, and now he's working there. We've known each other forever. We're really serious.
Brendan contemplated opening the window of Spencer's room so he could lean out and throw up.
Oh, said Brendan faintly. That's great. Ryan seems really nice.
Ryan kissed me, he was screaming inside his head. I almost let Ryan cheat on you with me and I didn't even know. Ryan's a creep or I'm a whore and everything that was good is now awful and tainted.
Spencer was just staring at him. Brendan was sure Ryan hadn't told him that they'd kissed, because Spencer hadn't punched him in the face yet. It was on the tip of his tongue to blurt it all out and confess anyway. This wasn't just a lousy holiday anymore. It was vying for the top 10 worst minutes of Brendan's life. Right up there with, "Hey, I'm leaving to go to college and you can't stop me."
"Ryan's awesome and I love him," Spencer said fiercely.
It was the wrong tone. Something was off about the whole conversation, but Brendan's head was spinning and he felt weird and dizzy, and he couldn't have figured out what to save his life.
"Awesome," Brendan said as firmly as he could. "That's just awesome. I'm glad. I have to go. I left something on. I'll... call me about the project, okay? And tell Ryan I said hi."
"Sure," said Spencer. Brendan staggered to his feet and practically ran out of Spencer's dorm. And then he sat outside the back of his dorm on the cold concrete steps for a long time and cried. Thankfully, no one was back yet from vacation to see.